Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our radio drama today is This Side of the Jordan by Sylvia Berger. This script is presented in observance of Simchat Torah.
This is how it was on the night that Moses died. All day and all night could be seen the campfires of the Israelites where they were encamped at the fort of Mount Nebo in the land of Moab. In the land of Moab, the 12 tribes of Israel had pitched their tents, every man by his own standard, waiting for the signal to cross over the Jordan into the land that had been promised to them by the Lord. On the east side, toward the rising of the sun, were pitched the standards of the camp of Judah, 74,600 men in number. Their captain was Nahshon, the son of Amminadab. Next was pitched the tribe of Issachar, in number 54,400 men. Next were pitched the tents of Zebulun, 57,400 men. These had been commanded to set forth ahead of all the others when the signal was given. The signal to cross into the promised land. Now on the south side. On the south side were pitched the tents of the standard of Reuben, then the standard of Simeon, then the tribe of Gad. These numbered 100,500 men in all. They were to set forth second in rank when the signal came for the crossing. On the west side were pitched the tents of the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Manasseh, and the tribe of Benjamin. They were prepared to set forth third in rank when the signal was given to cross the river, and they numbered 108,000 men. The standard of the tribe of Dan was on the north side. Beside Dan was pitched the tribe of Asher and the tribe of Naphtali, and these, coming to 157,600 men, were set to cross over last when the signal came. This is how it was, what I am about to tell you. All day and all night could be seen the campfires of the Israelites where they had pitched their tents for the crossing of the River Jordan. The smoke of their campfires was sweet with the roasting of meats in the day, and at night their fires dotted the dark plain like the stars in the sky. On the east side of the Jordan, the Israelites were waiting for the blowing of the horns that would tell them their day had come, their wandering was at an end. And waiting, they remembered the hard years in the wilderness, and they grew noisy with pleasure.
Enough now. You will be crying before the night is up. I said let it be enough.
Why is his tent so dark?
His tent so dark?
Why is the tent of our teacher so silent and dark?
Who knows? Tomorrow at this time, we will have crossed the river.
Come out and dance. Come out and celebrate.
What are you doing?
Tomorrow at this time.
Tomorrow at this time.
Sing, children of Israel, sound the timbrel and the flute, for the promised land is a handspan away across the river. But what is the silence in the tent of your leader? Can you hear it? Listen to the darkness. Stop your rejoicing.
Moses, son of Amram.
I hear.
Hearken unto the commandment of our Lord. The day has come that you must die.
The day was the seventh of Adar, and there was promise of the spring to come. For 40 years the Israelites had wandered in the wilderness, and now they had come to the edge of the river that crossed into the promised land. That was the day that Moses heard that he must die.
No. 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 No!
Moses is arguing with the messenger of God. He is arguing for his life.
No! Not yet! Not here, on this side of the Jordan. Let me cross over. Let me just see the land for which you sent me into the wilderness.
Take heed to thyself, Moses. You have one day left of life.
This is Moses who spoke with God on Mount Sinai. This is Moses who taught God's law to the children of Israel.
These are the words of the Lord your God, the Lord God everlasting. You shall make no idols, nor shall you turn to graven images. I am the Lord your God. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. Nor shall you gather the gleaning of the harvest, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. But you shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord, your God. You shall not steal, neither shall you deal falsely, nor lie one to another. Nor shall you bear false witness against your neighbor, nor shall you hate your brother in your heart, nor bear any grudge. But love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, your God. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor anything that is your neighbor's. I am the Lord, your God.
This is Moses, chosen by God to lead his people out of Egypt, now arguing for another day of life.
Why must I go now before we come into the land God promised me? Why did he send me out of Egypt? He won't let me see the land promised me. Why did I suffer for these people? Why did I labor for them? Did I conceive them? Did I bring them forth that I should have carried them in my bosom as a father carries a suckling child? Why did I suffer for Israel if I'm not to take part in their rejoicing?
Make no fruitless effort to live, Moses. You have now in this world only 13 more hours left of life.
Consider how mighty was Moses. When he brought the Israelites out of Egypt and they had been many years in the wilderness, they came to the desert of Zin. And the people came before him and wept that there was no water and they were thirsty. And Moses struck a flint rock, and water gushed forth from the flint rock, and the Israelites drank. When they were hungry, he made the heavens send down manna to feed them. He split the waters of the Red Sea. He tamed the scorpions in the desert and the beasts in the field. Consider how mighty was Moses and how he pleaded for his life. And the Lord had compassion on Moses, and he pitied him, his anguish and his pleading, and he sent him a heavenly messenger to soothe and comfort him.
Moses, I hear. Whose son are you?
Amram's son.
And whose son was Amram?
Izhar's son.
And whose son was he?
Levi's son.
And from whom did all of these descend?
From Adam.
Was the life of any one of these spared? They all died.
And you want to live on?
Adam stole the forbidden fruit. Did I ever steal anything from God?
Was it God who advised you to slay the Egyptian when you were young?
God slew all the firstborn of Egypt. Shall I die on account of one single Egyptian that I slew?
The Lord slays, and the Lord restores to life. Can you revive the dead?
Now, how will you argue, Moses? What bargain will you strike with the Lord? What will you trade for another hour of life?
When God proposed that I leave Egypt and lead the people to the promised land, I answered that I could not, because of a previous vow of loyalty to my master. God absolved me from my vow. If God can release me from my vow, then let him absolve himself from his vow, so that I may live.
You, Moses, have a master to absolve you from your vow. But the Lord has no master.
Consider how mighty was Moses. When he had brought the Israelites to Pisgah, and they had to pass through the kingdom of Sihon, he sent a messenger to the king with these words: Let Moses' people pass through your kingdom to the land God promised them. They will not go into your fields or into your vineyards. They will not drink the water of your wells. They will go by the king's highway and will not turn to the right or to the left until they have passed your borders. But Sihon would not let them go through, and he gathered his armies together, and he went out into the wilderness to fight against the armies of Moses. And the armies of Moses smote him with the edge of his sword. Consider how mighty was Moses, who now argues and uses his cunning with the Lord to add another day to his life.
If the Lord lets me die now, future generations will say I have done evil. What evil have I done? They will say, if God had not found evil in Moses, he would not have taken him out of the world before he reached the promised land.
It is already written, there hath arisen no prophet like unto Moses.
Shall my mother, to whom life brought so much grief, suffer sorrow for my death also?
So it was in the mind of God before he created the world. God has made everything beautiful in its time. But afterward, all go into one place. Plead no more, Moses.
To whom shall I go now? Who will plead for me?
You made the earth to open up with your staff, Moses. You split the rocks wide open. You made food grow where none grew before. Ask the earth to intercede for you.
Earth! Hear me! Earth!
Moses?
Speak for me, earth! Ask God not to let me die till I have entered the promised land. Speak for me, earth!
How can I speak for you, Moses, when I cannot speak for myself? Your fate is like mine. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
Call on the sea, Moses. You divided the waters. You made them to part for you and the children of Israel. Command the water to intercede for you.
Speak for me, O sea! Plead for the life of Moses! Pray for me!
Son of Amram, what ails you today? Are you not the same who once came to me and beat me with a staff and separated my waters into 12 parts for the 12 tribes of Israel? How is it now that you come before me pleading?
Pray for me that I may live.
Before I pray for you, I must pray for myself. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed.
To whom can you turn, Moses? Who will plead for you? Call upon the heavens, Moses.
Hear me, heavens!
Argue with the sun and plead with the moon. Call upon the planets
and
for the stars. Beg the hills and the mountains.
Argue
with the rivers. Plead with the deserts.
Ask
them. Ask them to intercede for Moses that he may not die.
Beg for me. Speak for me that I may not die.
How can we help you, Moses, when we cannot help ourselves?
Who is there left, Moses? Who will help you? Who will plead for you?
God of the world,
Let me live until I enter the land. Only let me live there 2 or 3 years, and then I will die.
The Lord has written, you will not go there.
If I may not enter it in my lifetime, let me then reach it after my death. Let my bones, after my death, be carried into the promised land.
Neither dead nor alive shall you go into the land.
God in heaven! Lord of the earth, listen to me, listen to my prayers. If you won't let me go into the land you promised the children of Israel, let me live like the beasts of the field that feed on herbs and drink water. Let me be as one...
Advice now, Moses.
Then let me just see the land with my eyes. Let me skim the land with a glance. Let me see with a flicker of one look the land you have promised the children of Israel.
And this the Lord did for Moses. He showed him the land that had been promised to the children of Israel. What lay in the deep appeared to him above. The hidden was plainly in view. The far away was close at hand. And Moses saw the land.
It is a good land. A land of brooks of water. Of fountains and depths springing forth in the valleys and in the hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olives, and honey. Woe to the son of Amram, who ran before his people like a horse, but whose bones must remain in the desert.
And the bitterness welled up in Moses once more, and he went to Joshua, the son of Nun, and he begged him, and he pleaded.
Speak for me, Joshua. Intercede for me. Remember the kindness with which I always treated you, Joshua? Remember how I taught you and guided you? Joshua! Why are you weeping, Joshua? Oh, no. Weep not for me. Weep not for Moses. Weep not for Moses!
Whom will you command to speak for you now, Moses? Will you command the people? You led them out of Egypt. You brought them to the shore of the promised land. You fed them. You gave them drink.
Speak for me, O children of Israel. Pray for me. Remember that on my behalf, God forgave you when you transgressed against his laws. Go to the sanctuary of the Lord and pray for your king. Ask him to let Moses enter the land for which he suffered and labored for 40 years. God will listen to you. For God never rejects the prayer of the multitude.
Weeping out here.
Are they weeping for Moses? Is Moses truly dying then?
The Lord, the Lord, a God full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy and truth, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. The Lord took pity on Moses, and he sent his messenger to offer him a choice of life and death.
Moses,
I hear.
The Lord has registered 2 vows. Choose one, and you will live. Choose the other, and you will die.
The Lord God is full of compassion.
1 vow is that you will die.
The Lord God is full of mercy.
The second is that Israel is to die. The Lord God cannot cancel both vows, but he will cancel one. Choose, Moses.
If I choose for Israel,
then you must die.
And if I choose for myself, then
Israel will perish.
You approach me artfully indeed. You seize the rope at both ends.
You have made your choice, Moses.
I have made my choice.
You have chosen well. And be not afraid. Your days will pass, Moses, when you are dead. But your light will not fade. For you will never need of the light of sun or moon or stars. Nor will you require raiment or shelter or oil for your head or shoes for your feet. For the majesty of the Lord will shine before you. His glory will clothe you. His splendor will shelter you. His radiance will make your face to shine. And now I would say farewell to my people.
And Moses called together the people, and before them he delivered the leadership to Joshua. And he asked the people to forgive him his sternness toward them.
You have had much to contend with as I led you toward the fulfillment of the Torah and its commandments. Forgive me now.
It is forgiven.
We have often kindled your anger, Moses. We have laid many burdens upon you. Forgive us now.
It is forgiven. I pray you, when you will have entered into the land of Israel, remember me still and my bones. And say, woe to the son of Amram, who ran before us like a horse, but whose bones remained in the desert.
What will become of us when you are gone?
Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. For how can you expect help from a man? A creature of flesh and blood who cannot shield himself from death. Put therefore your trust in him through whose word arose the world. For he lives and endures in all eternity. The Lord, he is our God. The Lord, he is God. God is our strength and our refuge.
We have never wept for Moses. Moses, our king, is leaving us.
Dwell in peace. I shall see you again in the resurrection.
And in the last hour of his life, Moses sat in his tent writing. And the books that he wrote were the five books of Moses.
Moses, thy last second is at hand.
The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
Moses is gone to the mountain. Alone on the mountain he prays.
Lord of the world, in love thou didst create the world, and in love thou guidest it. Treat me also with love, and deliver me.
Moses, be not afraid. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward.
Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler.
Like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Charles E. Brown, Chairman of the Executive Committee of the Board of Overseers of the University of Judaism of Los Angeles. Mr. Brown.
The observance of the Jewish holiday, Simchat Torah, is one of rejoicing. This may indicate to some listeners that the eternal light drama we have just heard, This Side of the Jordan, was strangely chosen for the occasion. Simchat Torah is the time when Jews read both the last and first chapters of the Torah. The ceremony expresses the everlasting continuity of our spiritual lives. So Moses, the greatest of our prophets, brings his people to the gates of the promised land, but he is not allowed to enter. The last day of Moses is the first day of Joshua. In our Jewish religion, there are no saintly, unembodied spirits. Moses was great because his virtues outweighed his faults. And so it is with all men of goodwill who strive to make a better world. Many centuries ago, a learned rabbi said, It is not thy duty to complete the work, but neither art thou free to desist from it. In this spirit, each one must eventually be judged, not by his errors or his sins, but rather by the preponderance of his virtues and good deeds. The perpetuation of a people's culture, of its knowledge and laws, as represented in the Ten Commandments given to us by Moses, offers rare and selfless opportunity for an everlastingly vital monument to the accomplishments of man and to his hope in the future. We in America have a historical opportunity to fulfill the task imposed on our people by the tradition which Moses and his followers have bequeathed to us. The festival of Simchat Torah reminds us of our duty to Jewish learning. From the local school for our children to the great national schools in which our young men are being trained for the American rabbinate, including such magnificent institutions as the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, the Hebrew Union College, and the Yeshiva University. Speaking from Los Angeles, I may be forgiven for making particular mention of the University of Judaism, which is the West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary. On November 19th, we will observe our third annual Founders Day. The Board of Overseers of our institution regard this day as one which has brought blessings to our community. The friends of our university will find the reward in the knowledge they have given of themselves towards maintaining the light of learning for their fellow citizens and their children after them.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Our eternal light drama today, This Side of the Jordan, was written by Sylvia Berger, based upon The Legends of the Jews by Professor Louis Ginsberg, and presented in observance of Simchat Torah. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Peter Capel as Moses and Alexander Scourby as the narrator. The production was under the direction of Ed King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.